I want to start this morning by telling you a situation that happened in my life that changed my life. I was a kid, a child, 9 or 10 years old. My parents, our family was living in Southeast D.C. The hood. Off Texas Avenue. 445 Burbank Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C. I attended Mary H. Plummer Elementary School. One particular evening, I was sitting out on the porch, on the steps of the apartment complex that we lived in. Sitting there with one of my friends, 9 or 10 years old, or thereabouts. And a young lady walked by that I said something to that was inappropriate. 9 years old. What I didn't know at the time when I spoke it was that my father was in the window of the apartment. And heard what I said. He promptly invited me into the apartment and gave me my just reward, to which I have never said anything inappropriate to another young lady since that time. That was a life-changing moment. Not just the fact that I got whipped, but what got revealed to me that day is something that a lot of people have forgotten, that you are being seen even when you don't see that you're being seen. The unfortunate thing about most of us is that we say we believe that, but the reality is that we really in our hearts think and believe that there are things that we can do, places we can go, activities that we can participate in, conversations we can have, and nobody will see us. Go on and preach, Pastor. I think I will. That's why we treat people the way we treat them. We cuss people out. In the church parking lot. Come on, talk to me for just a second. We lie. We behave in unbelievable ways. The reality is, if y'all were to tell the truth, deep in your heart, you want to believe that there are some times in life when you can just be yourself. Y'all ain't got to say amen. I feel the tension in the room right now. As a matter of fact, people are so unconcerned about the fact that others are watching you that we try to put a positive spin on our behavior by saying we just keeping it real. Y'all ain't got to say amen. I'm going on with it, whether y'all say amen or not. And I got a one-point message today. Okay, maybe 2 points. Here's what my assignment is today. My assignment from God is to try to elevate the fact and the truth to you today that we serve a God who sees absolutely everything that you are doing. I know you don't want to hear it. Yeah, I know you want to just celebrate that God is great and he's answering your problems and he's fixing your situations. All that's true. We love to celebrate and give the Lord the praise and believe that he can work miracles. We love to talk about the God who's gracious, and we love to talk about the God who opens up doors, and we love to talk about the God who will answer our prayers. But we also need to understand that that same God has a side to him that you cannot deny, which is he will whip your behind. And I'm running ahead of myself. Slow down, Pastor. Somebody say, slow down. From Genesis to Revelation, repeatedly, over and over again, throughout this book, that we are persuaded and convinced that this is the book by which we will be judged. This, the truths contained in this, are that which governs our lives. And yet from Genesis to Revelation, over and over again, is repeated throughout the scriptures, the very mere fact that God sees everything. It started with Adam and Eve. When they were in the garden, and Adam and Eve had a conversation, Eve had a conversation with the devil. And he convinced her that God wasn't going to really punish them for disobeying him. Y'all know the story, don't y'all? Do I need to go back over that story with y'all? Here's the reality. The fact is they ate, partook of the tree, and God came strolling through the garden looking for them. Not that he was looking, because he knew where they were. How many of you know God knows exactly where you are? And raised a series of questions that he already knew the answer to. From Genesis all the way to the back into the end of the book of Revelations, we are told over and over again the very basic truth, repeatedly through scripture, that God sees us. Matter of fact, open up your Bibles real quick to Proverbs chapter 5. Matter of fact, this is a Bible study. I'm bringing a Bible study to you. Since you won't come to Bible study, I bring Bible study to you. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 5. So here's my suggestion. Jot the verse down, because I got like 100 verses today for y'all. And y'all not going to be able to keep up. So jot it down and read it when you get home. Here's what Proverbs 5:21 says. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. Look at this. This is powerful. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Now, I don't normally read the NIV, but I want to read this to you from the NIV translation. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. Your life is in full view, not a corner of it, not... It's not darkened or in the shadow parts of it. No, no. Full view. Lights blasting on it. He can see everything that's going on in your life. While you're here in Proverbs, slide over to chapter 15 since we're here. And verse 3. It says this, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. See, if I had my choice, if I could make my own God, my God would see my good and not my evil. Thank those 17 people that agree with me that if they could create the God that they wanted the way they wanted. Now, I would make the God that I created, if I could create God to be the God I wanted, I would cause him to see all my good and none of my evil. But I would point out to him the people that I want him to see their evil. I don't want him to see mine. Overlook mine. Hide mine. Cover mine. Put mine underneath something. Don't see mine. Hide your eyes from mine. But now that joker right there. Yeah. Put him on blast. But that's not the kind of God we serve. Thank God that we cannot serve a God that we create. The Proverbs says, he watches evil and good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch
on the evil and the good. We serve a God who sees everything that's going on. Somebody say amen. He's keeping watch on everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He's watching everything. That's the kind of God we serve. Matter of fact, it goes a step further in Job 31. Job 31. Just go to the table of contents and this takes it a step deeper. I'm not gonna keep y'all long. I'm gonna punch you in the face with these 20,000 verses, and then I'm gonna be gone. Because I'm just trying to make one. I'm trying to get this point. I'm trying to pray that the Holy Ghost would sensitize us to the reality that He sees everything. He sees everything. We often forget it. We often don't remember it. But here's what Job 31 and verse 4 says. Listen. Does He not see my ways? And look at here. And count all my steps. All your ways and every step that you take. Every place that you go. Woo. Woo. That's horrifying, y'all. That's horrifying. He sees my ways. God sees all of our ways. He counts all, every single step. Every place you walk in. Every place you walk, He sees. Psalm 139, slide back over there. Here's an expounded verse that deals with the reality of the fact that we serve a God who sees us. Am I going too fast for y'all? I'm trying to go as slow as I can. Without taking all morning, I'm just trying to drive home and help you see this is a portion of the scriptures that highlight to us the fact that God sees everything. It's the verses that speak to this matter are enormous. Here's what Psalm 139 says. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 12. Can I read those 12 verses? Y'all ain't got nowhere to go. Oh Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. Every time you sit your nasty behind down, God sees when you sit down. When you rise up from your sit down moment, He sees it. You understand my thoughts afar off. That takes it a little step deeper. He not only sees your actions, He sees what you're thinking. You comprehend my path and my lying down. Before you lie down, you better understand He sees where you lying down. And look at your neighbor saying, who you lying down with? Go ahead, tell him. And He is acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. There is not a word on your tongue. You don't even have to speak it. When it lands on your tongue, when you're about to speak it, God already knows about it. But behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. Verse 5, You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your spirit, or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me. Look at verse 11. Even the night shall be light about me. You know what that says? You can make the room as dark as you want it. Verse 12, indeed the darkness shall not hide from You, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to You. Whether you're in a dark room or a light room, He gonna see. Might as well turn the light on. Amen. I'm preaching and teaching up in here today. I want to drive this point home to you. I want you to understand and see this. Jeremiah chapter 16. I'm trying to get you to understand and embrace the reality of this truth that have escaped so many people. And I know it's a reality because of the way people are behaving, the way people are acting, the stuff that people are doing. Especially those who say they're children of the Most High God. How can you do these things? How can you behave in such a way if you fully understood and comprehended the magnitude of the fact that we serve a God to whom you cannot hide from? But somehow or another, we have compartmentalized our lives and we think that there are certain areas that God sees and certain things that God doesn't see. You can't turn God on and off. He's not turned on and off with a button of what you want Him to see and what you don't want Him to see. Here's Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 17. Chapter 16, verse 17. It says, "For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes." God says, all your ways, the way your ways, what you practice, what you do, what you've incorporated, has the way you live your life. He says, "I've got that down. My eyes are on your ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor are your iniquities, your sins, the things you do that you have no business doing, your iniquity." Jeremiah 23, go to the 23rd chapter since we're already here in Jeremiah. Verse 24. "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" That's powerful. He says, you cannot hide your, you can't go to a secret place and hide yourself from God. God says, "Don't you know that I see you? Don't you know I fill heaven and earth?" You can get in a rocket. You can get on the space shuttle. You can't do it anymore. But you could have got on the space shuttle and zoomed off into space. God said, "When you get there, I'm there already." Psalm 139 said, "If I ascend into heaven, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there." You can't hide from God. Now, take that and apply it to your life. Here is the ultimate truth. Wherever, whatever you do, God sees it. Every phone conversation, every television show that you watch, every website that you visit, every text message that you send, every attitude that you display, he sees the way you treat your spouse, the way you deal with your children, the way you respond to your parents. He's watching your behavior inside the church, outside the church. He's listening in on every agreement and every argument and every debate. He's listening in on every phone conversation, every iChat, every Skype conversation. He's watching everything. He read your email before you finished typing it. That's horrifying. I cannot tell you how I felt sitting on that front step in Southeast DC when I heard my father's voice coming from the window, telling me, "Come here." It was horrifying. My father was a disciplinarian. They don't make them no more. We done adopted the Dr. Spock model of time out. I would take time out over a whipping from my father 101% of the time. That's why we got people who misbehave as adults. My father whipped in syllables. The scripture says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, the belt of correction in my family, or the switch of correction, When we lived in Southeast D.C., my father beat us with a belt. When we moved out to Glen Arden, we had to go to the woods and get a stick, a switch. You didn't know whether to get the big switch or the little switch. Because if you came back with one of those little thin switches, then he'd make you take your pants off. Man, them little thin things hurt your legs. Y'all ain't had no whipping with no thin switch. And that whipping that he gave me that day, taught me a lesson that I have not forgotten to this day. But here's the bigger lesson that I got. Not just that I ought to respectfully talk to young ladies. In fact, he instilled in me, I was scared to talk to girls, period. The bigger lesson that I got and I learned was that I'm being watched. Somebody can see you even when you don't see them watching. Now, I wish I could end this very dynamic message right there. But I got to take it one step further. So matter of fact, that whole point is God sees. Matter of fact, if you want to title the message, that's what it is. God sees. But add this to the end of that subject. God sees and rewards. That's the title of the message. If you want to put it, God sees and rewards. Because my second point is that God does reward you. Jeremiah chapter 17, since you're here. Chapter 17 and verse 10. It says this. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God said, I'm going to see everything you do, and you shall reap what you sow. Jeremiah 32. Go to chapter 32 since we're here. Verse 19. Chapter 32 and verse 19 says, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Same idea, but here's the point I'm trying to get you to see. God keeps repeating himself. He wants us to get this deep in our hearts. Let me close with Hebrews chapter 4. This will be my last verse. I won't give y'all all 20,000 that I had. I'll just give you those. Hebrews chapter 4. That's in the New Testament. In the back. Page 1054. Verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. There is no creature. You are a creature. You are a creation of God. There is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I want you to think about your life, your activities, your secrets, your stuff, David, King David, saw Bathsheba bathing on the top of her roof one day. And the king beckoned for her to come over, slept with her, sent her back home. King David, a man after God's own heart. She sent word back to him, I missed my period. Okay, maybe she didn't say it like that. That's what they say today. I was trying to put it in today's vernacular for you. She says, I'm with child. So now, this thing he's done, he wants to try and hide it. So he beckons for her husband, who's off at war fighting for him, fighting for the king. I wish I knew the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Read it when you get a chance. He beckons for her husband to come, thinking that when he comes, being gone from war, the first thing he's going to do is sleep with his wife. And when she's pregnant, he'll think it's hers. His. Yeah, it is hers, but his. I'm just trying to see if y'all's paying attention. Y'all paying attention. But this man is such a devoted man to his assignment that he says, I can't come home and enjoy my wife while my brothers are off at war. Turn to your neighbor and say, he must not have been a black man. Go ahead, tell him. Come on. Can y'all say amen to that? Y'all know the brother coming home to see mama first. Come on now. Amen. And he tries a series of things. David tries to get him drunk. But he wobbles home in a drunken stupor. And sleeps on the steps of his house. David sees that's not going to work. He sends him back to war with a letter in his hand that says, his name was Uriah. Take Uriah, put him in the hottest place of battle. Withdraw support. And when he's dead, let me know. Sure enough, this man goes back to war carrying a letter for his boss, his commander. Which is his own death sentence. Yes. Gives it to his commander who follows the instruction and Uriah is killed. And David marries Bathsheba. Everything's fine. She's pregnant. They rolling on. He done got away. He thinks it's done. But God sends a prophet to his house. Who unveils to him what he has done. And here's what David said when he finally repented. Psalm 51, jot it down. Don't have time to read it. He says, I'm not going to read it, but here's what it says in Psalm 51. He says, I have sinned. He says, I have done this evil in your sight. He came to understand that God saw what he did. Somehow or another, I'm trying to drive home the point to you that God sees what you did. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, thought they could get away with their behavior. And yet here they are in a place of selling their goods and want to pawn it off to the leaders of the church as though they have given it all. And it cost them their life. While I'm talking about the fact that God rewards us, and I just gave you two examples of the multiplicity of ones that are spread throughout Scripture, let me also tell you, when you do good, God sees that too. Can you imagine? And let me ask you this question. Take a look at your life. And what is it that God is calling you to come into recognition with that he's looking at you? Don't say amen altogether. Just think about it. Ponder it in your mind. What parts of my life, what am I participating in, failing to do that I should be doing? What's going on in my life that God is telling me today through the prophet, pastor, preacher today, that I need to be aware of the fact that he's watching? What kind of world would we be if everybody acted and behaved and talked like they knew God was watching? The great news is, I know you're afraid, I know you're scared, I know you're sitting there shivering and you're looking good, y'all look righteous, y'all look like y'all got it together, but for some of you, deep in your heart, there's a tremble going on because you know you got some stuff in your life that shouldn't be there. But I got great news. Jesus died on the cross so that your sins could be washed away and forgiven. Jesus says, I saw you before you did it, I knew you were going to do it. So he says, I went to the cross and died and shed my blood so that your sins could be forgiven. All you need to do is come and surrender your life to him and he'll wipe your slate clean. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a shout right there, right now.
Today's dynamic message from Pastor Jenkins is one that has the power to change your life. But it can only do so if you have a heart and soul that belong to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you want to be able to make such a claim, but you don't know how. It's simple. You just have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again with all power. Your sins are now forgiven, and you're part of the family of God. Welcome. Maybe you're already saved and in need of a church home, one that will nurture your growth and development as a Christian. Or perhaps you were once in fellowship with God, but have since drifted away and are ready to return to your first love. Whatever the case, we'd love to have you become a part of the First Baptist family. Simply contact us at 301-773-3600 or visit our website at www.fbcglenarden.org for more information on any one of our four convenient services or our 100 plus ministries designed to meet your most intimate needs. First Baptist Church of Glenarden, where God is developing dynamic disciples.